Such a nice day yesterday, Craig.
Yes, it was.
Everybody enjoyed till the... If you were a Cleveland Browns fan yesterday, it was sort of a tale of two halves.
That's what I hear.
Scott Patrick of the Chronicle Telegram had to stay for both halves, and then the post game, that kind of a thing. So he's put his time in. So let's get a little bit of a recap, Scott. Yesterday, I guess things started out well, but what led to this second half meltdown?
Well, I think part of it is that Arizona's a better team than the Browns, and it started to show in the second half. And then I think there was one giant factor on each side of the ball. On offense, the Browns couldn't run the ball, which has been an issue all season long. And it showed up. Not only could they not do anything on the ground, but then that leads the other team to know you're going to pass, and it led to Josh McCown, the quarterback, getting, you know, punished again. He took hit after hit, took a shot to the ribs that may have broken some ribs. He wouldn't tell us what the x-ray showed. And, you know, he was in serious pain out there. And I don't think he cost the Browns in the second half, but the fact that he was pressured a lot really hurt the offense. Brian Hartline dropped four passes. That kind of sabotaged a lot of drives. Then on defense, Arizona just kept throwing deep balls, and they started to hit him consistently in the second half, and the big plays led to their touchdowns, and the Browns just couldn't keep up offensively, didn't score in the second half.
We did have fortunate, in some sense, turnovers. We were able to get the ball back, but I guess not being able to do anything either.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Last week, the Browns committed four turnovers on the road and got beat by 18 points. Arizona commits four turnovers on the road yesterday and winds up winning by 14 points. You know, I think that speaks to the talent level and how each team's playing. You know, in the second half, the Browns just couldn't sustain anything offensively. And like I said, I think it's because Josh was getting hit, but also Brian Hartline dropped some key passes that would have extended drives. And then when they did get the turnovers, Josh McCown throws an interception into the end zone. It was a bad decision. I think he liked the route. It was kind of an out and up by Taylor Gabriel, and I think he assumed he was going to be open. They wind up being covered, and then the safety comes over the top for the interception. And then the next time they put any kind of a drive together, Robert Turbin, the running back, fumbled his second hand off of the game, and Arizona recovered. So, you know, they just looked discombobulated, and it felt like as soon as Arizona started to make a move at the end of the first half, it just felt like they had all the momentum, and the Browns could do nothing to switch it. And they got a couple injuries. Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner both suffered concussions in the third quarter, so they went out of the game. And it just kind of snowballed, and it's been this way all year. The Browns can't finish, and they can't kind of stop things when they start going badly. They can't stop them from getting worse. And at the end of the day, it comes down to guys making plays. You either need your quarterback or a receiver or a running back or a pass rusher to make a play to turn the game. The Browns just have not been able to make enough of those plays.
Scott, the record is 2-6. Am I correct on that?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that's a fair indication of what this team is? Because a year ago, at this point, they had a much better record.
You know what? That's a good question. And Mike Pettine got asked that after the game, and he said, you know, that's what we are, so we're going to own it, which is one of his pet phrases. And we're not going to make excuses. But in there, he said, you know, have we come close? Have we done this? Have we done some good things? So I think inside the building, they feel they're better than 2-6. And I would argue that they are a little bit better, right? They could have beaten Denver. They lost in overtime. They could have beaten San Diego. They lost on the last play of the game. So maybe they're just a shade better. But when all these losses start to stack up, and especially the last two. Like, I felt relatively good about the team following that Denver loss in overtime, even though a lot of people were so upset about it. They were one play away, and they could have made several one plays. But when they played as poorly as they did in St. Louis with the turnovers and the penalties, and followed up with a clunker of a second half at home, it just feels like it really is about 2-6. That's what this team feels like right now. Now, if they win Thursday night in Cincinnati, that'll change how everybody's perception. But it kind of feels like a 2-6 team right now, headed in the wrong direction.
A lot of rumors swirling around the teams prior to that game as well. Can you comment on any of those?
Yeah, you know, a lot of big names mentioned, and from talking to people, I think it's a product of the trade deadline being Tuesday, the Browns being 2-5, now 2-6, and people assuming that they might be willing to give up on some of their better players, kind of a quote-unquote fire sale. But I don't think anything's going to happen. It would be a surprise inside the building if they traded any of these big-name players, a Joe Thomas or an Alex Mack or even a Paul Kruger. You know, everybody's quote-unquote available because you got to see what the other team's willing to offer. But the Browns would have to be blown away for them to trade one of those pieces. And that just doesn't usually happen in the NFL. Take a guy like Joe Thomas. Not only does he want to stay here, if you traded him for a first-round draft pick, which some people think would be a lot to get back at this point in the season, well, then you're going to have to spend that first-round draft pick on a left tackle anyway. So I just don't think they can get enough. And I think the Browns think that they can't get enough to make it worthwhile to move these guys.
You don't see a whole lot of trades anyway in the NFL, do you?
It started to increase a little bit the last couple of years. They bumped the trade deadline back a couple of weeks, I think, to encourage moves. You saw Chicago trade a couple key pieces early this year in kind of a fire sale. But it's just hard. The salaries make it harder to trade guys. The fact that you have to adjust to a new scheme in midpoint, I know it's harder than acquiring a pitcher who just shows up on your mound and has nothing to change. You know, you bring an outside linebacker and he's got to learn techniques and play calls. I think it's a lot tougher to do in the league, which is why you don't see many of them.
We're talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. Were you surprised at all that they did not use Johnny Manziel even for a play or two? Could the way that Josh McCown was getting rattled or sort of hurt or just, I mean.
Well, no, he was hurt. I mean, he could barely stand up because he couldn't catch his breath because of the shots to the ribs. I understand why some people were, and I understand why I get all the buzz and all the interest and all the reasons to play Manziel. But here's what I keep coming back to with Josh McCown. If it were, and I know he's not, but if it were Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or just pick any other entrenched starter in the league, if they want to stay in the game, if they're physically able to stay in the game, they stay in the game. And Josh McCown is the starter on this team, and Mike Pettine has made that clear since February. So he's the starter. If he can stay in the game, he's going to stay in. And I think the reaction is only because it's Johnny on the sideline. And Josh got defensive after the game because people were wondering if the fact that he wasn't 100% caused the second half struggles. And he said no. He goes, I could make every throw I needed to, and then pointed out a couple throws that he did make down the field. And I agree. You know, you expected him not to be able to make throws because he's sucking wind, but he was able to make throws. He was hurt by drops. He made a bad decision on the interception. But I think it's wrong to pin the shutout in the second half on Josh trying to play through injuries. I don't think that was the reason.
You've covered the Browns for quite a long time. Were you covering the Browns when Bruce Arians was part of the Browns staff?
You know what? I wasn't. I was at games here and there, but I didn't take over the beat until the year after Butch fired him.
Because now he's having some success over there with the Cardinals. And what do we expect now with this short week? It's a Thursday night against the Bengals. They're still undefeated.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, Arians, you know, it's one that got away because the Browns had opportunities to interview him and hire him, and they never did. And he would have loved to coach here. He said that multiple times. I think he's a two-time coach of the year, once in Arizona and once as an interim coach filling in when Chuck Pagano had cancer in Indianapolis. But as far as Cincinnati, I mean, it's as tough as an assignment as you're going to have as a team. Quick turnaround. You go on the road. I know it's a short road trip, but you still have to go on the road. Thursday night, an undefeated Cincinnati team who did play well yesterday, yet still finds a way to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. You know, Cincinnati's going to lose one of these days. They're not going to go 16-0, but it's pretty unlikely it's going to happen Thursday. Just all the injuries for the Browns. McCown won't be 100%. Hayden and Whitner I can't imagine them playing after getting a concussion yesterday. You know, the Browns are reeling, and it seems like an awful difficult time for them to snap out of their problems.
Well, that's they don't stop. The games are getting harder as it gets through the months of November and December, and hopefully to try to just turn some things around or at least string a couple of victories together. Scott, we will talk with you again in the near future about the upcoming game as well. And, again, people can find you in the Chronicle and also at Scott Petrek on Twitter. Thanks very much, Scott, for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.